Christmas is believing that when Jesus Christ was born, God came down from heaven on that first Christmas morn. Christmas is believing a gift to all mankind was wrapped and laid in a manger, and by faith we can find. Oh, you just can't have Christmas without believing, but you can have his gift of love this holy season. There's so much more to Christmas than just a feeling. In my heart I know that Christmas is believing. Christmas is believing 2,000 years ago, the light that shined in the darkness, but the world didn't know. Christmas is believing the Savior is Christ the Lord, and if we believe him, we can live forevermore. Oh, you just can't have Christmas without believing, but you can have his gift of love this holy season. There's so much more to Christmas than just a feeling. In my heart I know that Christmas is believing. You just can't have Christmas without believing, but you can have his gift of love this holy season. There's so much more to Christmas than just a feeling. In my heart I know that Christmas is believing. There's so much more to Christmas than just a feeling. In my heart I know that Christmas is all about believing. Hallelujah.
One December night, over 2,000 years ago, a shining star illuminated a gathering of kings, shepherds, angels, and animals round a baby in a stable. 'Twas the Nativity, and it marked the end of a journey that began on a donkey's back.
Whoa, hold up there, Jeeves.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
Your Nativity. That's not exactly how it happened. Here, look, let's start with that donkey. Neither of the gospel stories mentions Mary traveling by donkey. And given the 60 miles of rough terrain they traveled, it's more likely they used a wagon.
Minor details. But then the innkeeper informs them there's no room...
Again, the Bible doesn't actually mention an innkeeper. And in the Greek, the word inn refers to an upper room in a house, not an actual motel.
Oh, blast. Look, wherever it was, there was no room. So, Mary and Joseph were sent to the stable.
No stable.
Not in the Bible either.
Now you're catching on. And in those days, most animals were typically kept in a cave.
A cave?
Yippers. So it could have been that instead of a stable, the Bible doesn't really say.
And the Star of Bethlehem?
Duh, that's biblical.
Well, we're actually right for once. It's a Christmas miracle. Okay, so now came the shepherds and the three kings.
No kings. Three kings is from the song. The Bible says magi, which means wise men.
Three wise men? That works.
Well, not so fast. While the Bible does mention three gifts, it doesn't specify the number of wise men that brought them.
You mean there could have been more?
Oh, yeah. A whole posse, even.
With a crowd like that, it's a miracle the baby Jesus never cried.
What, no crying he makes? That's just a lyric from Away in a Manger, not actual scripture.
Well, of course he was crying. You just added a whole crowd of strange men.
Yes and no. There may have been many wise men, but they weren't there that night, you see?
Okay, that's enough. Except for the blooming Star of Bethlehem, you've just dismantled the most inspiring image of Christian tradition. So what's your point?
Point? Well, I guess it's this. Even when all of the man-made traditions are stripped away, the eternal truths still remain. Whether they traveled by donkey or wagon, God brought them safely to the birthplace that was prophesied. Whether born in a stable or cave, God provided shelter in a strange new land. Whether there were three kings, three wise men, or many, God called the elect to bear witness and testimony to the birth of Emmanuel. So whether your manger looks like this, or like this, the one thing that remains unchanged is this. A baby boy, born of a virgin, this day in the city of David, a savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Bless you, sir. I'll never look at the miracle of December 25th the same way again.
December 25th? Oh, I almost forgot.
Stop that. Music!
Thank you.
my fortress over and over.
I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace. Your faithfulness, my fortress over and over. Make way through the waters, walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for, what you are famous for.
God, I believe in you.
Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us over and over.
God, I believe.
There is no fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over.
For making us?
Plus.
Why do you believe in God?
I can give us food.
You believe in God for food?
Me.
Do you love Jesus?
Because Jesus didn't get a cupcake. But Jesus did get cupcake, but no cupcake to eat.
He didn't take care of it.
No, I'm And he made home for us. He made an earth. My name Atalakos.
Why do you believe in God?
I knew Atalakos. I call my new Atalakos.
That's why you believe in God for your Legos?
You have to faith in somebody else.
No, Ella. Thankful for my new monster trucks.
You're thankful for your new monster trucks? Can you tell me why God is famous?
My new monster trucks.
He's famous because he got you monster trucks?
No, never do.
Being a child is hard. That he was God's son. I think he's famous for dying on the cross for us and I think he's famous for dying on the cross for us.
Healing the sick and saving a lot of lives. And that's what I think he is the most famous for.
What happens on Christmas?
Get presents.
What do we celebrate at Christmas?
Jesus' birthday.
When you get presents and when you open it and then you get new toys.
Giving and Jesus' birth.
I just think about, I think about him, you know, because and I just think about joy and stuff because, I mean, it is Jesus. He is the one that died on the cross for us, so.
That's good. I like it. Good job. All right.
Because he loves us? I love Jesus because Jesus Christmas
made I say Earth for us.
That is a special time of holiday for a lot of things, like spending time with family and the birth of Jesus Christ.
But the minions and rock and roll sports ball. And that's really cool.
Can you tell me what your favorite thing about Christmas is?
Yeah, Christmas lights. I'm opening presents
in the morning.
What?
Give people presents. Horses.
Horses? Getting horses?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting to spend more time with my family and getting to give something to my family member, mm-hmm. or getting a present. We celebrate Jesus's birthday and that it's just about Jesus and stuff, mm-hmm. and giving and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably mainly that we go to spend the night at my nana's, my whole family.
Do you like being videoed?
Okay. That's right. Cut and cut.
In the words of Harry Wilson that was with us last week, I don't know if you wanted to see my grandkids at the end, but I wanted to show you my grandkids at the end. So it was fun. Listening to those kids, love the answers, amen. Praise God. Well, we are so glad you are here, special service. And again, can't say it enough, be sure to stay with us. Got plenty of food back there. And hadn't it been good so far? Yeah. Amen. Of course, you can see a theme throughout everything. And somebody say, I believe.
I believe.
You know, it's important what you believe. How many of you realize that? know, we've all by now seen a lot of the movies, and It's a Wonderful Life, and Miracle on 34th Street, White Christmas for all the old guys. You know, those are movies from the 40s and 50s. But then modern-day classics of Elf and Polar Express, whatever it is that you like to watch, you know, they all center around the idea of the Christmas spirit. They all center around the idea of believing in the magic of Christmas. I was in Lexington, Kentucky last week. We were at an RMAI Christmas party, and we were in the Macy's department store. They even had a sign up. It was interesting. I'd never seen this before, but they had a sign up that Macy's department store had designated a National Believe Week for November 28th through December the 4th. And, of course, that was raising money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation and doing some things there. But, you know, it's dedicated to recognizing the generosity, sentiment of the season. How many of you know there is a true Christmas spirit? There really is. And there's a true, genuine Christmas spirit, let me say it that way, for believers. And what it's about is it's a spirit that comes with answers to prayer, and it makes tremendous power available. But it also makes way for the miraculous in our life whenever we choose to believe in Jesus Christ. The blessing of Christmas is bigger than a tree. It's bigger than shiny bows. It's bigger than ribbons, unwrapping presents, getting everything on your wish list. You know, He wants you blessed. We see that from beginning to end. He wants us blessed. And, of course, it is the season of love and joy. And, of course, it's the season of giving. But all the love, all of the joy, and all the giving is simply because of Jesus Christ. Simply because Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Without Jesus, there would be no Christmas season. I read something with Creflo Dollar last week. He said, in today's world, this sacred holiday has lost much of its meaning because people don't really know what Christmas is all about. And, of course, that's why we want to get up and remind you. Not that you have forgotten, but we want to keep it in front of you. We want to keep it in the forefront of all of your thinking this holiday season. Christmas is believing the celebration of a birth in Bethlehem. Christmas is the celebration of a birth of a Savior who laid down His life so that we could have life. Christmas is the celebration of light entering the world so that we would not have to live in darkness. Christmas is believing. Well, I invite you to look at Luke chapter 1. You know, a lot of times we'll go straight to Luke chapter 2, familiar passage of Scripture. But we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, if you'll indulge me for just a moment. This is talking about Zechariah and Elizabeth. This leads up, of course, to Luke chapter 2. But in Luke chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Skimming down to verse number 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall remember or shall rejoice at his birth. And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready the people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto you to show you these things, these glad tidings. Behold, you shall be dumb. Now that just simply means mute. You shall be mute and not be able to speak until the day of these things shall be performed, because you believe not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Look at verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus has the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked at me to take away the reproach of men. And the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and a virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when he saw him, she was troubled at this saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over all the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Now watch this. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. I like that. Blessed is she that believed. I want to encourage you this morning, always factor God into your situation. Always factor God into your situation, not just look at your human condition. Amen? Because we see that's both what her and Zechariah said is how can this be? Well, be it unto me according to your word, for there shall be a performance of those things which is from the Lord. You know, the Lord tells you according to his word from beginning to end, he's talking to you about what you believe. What is it that you choose to believe? Because how many of you know it matters what you believe? Yes. Amen. Look over at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, this is, of course, Jesus speaking to Peter. I like so much the wording here. Verse number 13, Matthew 16, 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they say, Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, You are Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, we've all heard it before, but some say that Jesus was a good moral teacher. Well, he was. Amen. Thank God for that. But, you know, that would make him no better than Mr. Rogers. You know, how many of you know Mr. Rogers was a good moral man, taught good lessons, right? He was famous for his character. You know, we sang that song, Famous For. We asked the kids, what was Jesus famous for? What was it that makes him stand apart? Mr. Rogers was a good man of character, taught good moral lessons. Christopher Robin taught good moral lessons. You know, Winnie the Pooh, Christopher Robin. Maybe you've been separated from kids for a while. You don't know who that is. Christopher Robin was usually the voice of reason that could be relied upon. But Jesus wasn't just a man. It was a good moral man. The Bible tells us from history that he was famous. Famous for a lot of things. You know, if somebody's famous, that just simply means that they're celebrated in public or they're talked about and praised. You know, we would say today that Jesus had a huge following, that his teachings went viral, right? They were attracted to his miracles, his signs, his wonders. You're there in Matthew 16. If you look at chapter 4, it actually speaks of Jesus' fame. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame went throughout all of Syria." You're there in Matthew chapter 4. Look over at Matthew chapter 14. Again, talking about the fame of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Matthew 14, verse number 1, and it says, "And at that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. Therefore the mighty works do show forth themselves in him." You know that word fame comes from the Greek word akoi, which stands for the human ear. Everybody grab a hold of your ear. So that when we think of the word fame, it's a Greek word for the ear. Literally, it has its origins in the meaning to speak or to repeat. In other words, saying something for somebody to hear over and over. It describes a rumor or something that is repeated or heard by those listening. So what was Jesus famous for? Well, we see in Scripture that a fame went abroad about him. It wasn't so much what he did. It wasn't so much what he said, but it was what others said about him. You know, if Jesus' fame is going across the land, that means that people are repeating the sayings of Jesus. They're repeating the miracles. They're repeating the things that he did. So my question to you this morning, this season, is what are you saying to attract others to Jesus? What is it that you are repeating about the gospel that leads others to him? Because as a result of the news that was spreading, multitudes experienced the healing and delivering ministry of Jesus. You remember in Acts 10:38, the Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you'll look over at Luke chapter 4, again, Jesus talking, Luke chapter 4. Verse number 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went a fame of him throughout all the region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' He closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, he sat down, and all eyes of them were fastened on him in the synagogue." Glory to God. Well, the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, verse number 9, the true light, that is Jesus, that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and through the world was made through him. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It's interesting, in Psalm 145, verse 4, it says, "One generation shall command your works to another, and they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness." What are you believing this holiday season? What is coming out your mouth that everybody else is hearing about Jesus Christ? Amen. Jesus was and is and still remains the only one that could show us the meaning of life. Consider that. He's the only one that can give us direction in our life. He's the only one that can illuminate to us what is and isn't important throughout our life's daily pursuit. The world searches for the purpose of life and the manner in which it should be conducted, but avoids the one who knows the answers and desires to reveal it to us. How many of you know Jesus has the answers to life's problems? Every single one of them, he has the answers, and he's ready to reveal it to us. You must believe that Jesus came in the flesh, born of a virgin. You must believe that. You must believe that 33 years later, that he was crucified on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day. You must believe it all. You must believe it all. It's not a take it or leave it. It's not a, well, that doesn't apply to me. I don't like the way that was said. Well, I don't like that passage. Well, that means that causes me to have to sacrifice a little bit more. You must believe it all. Amen. Mary, speaking to the angel Gabriel, said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Amen. Look back at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew's account here, Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," literally interpreted, "God with us," or "God became one of us. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep," now notice what it says, "he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him." You know, Joseph had a choice. Joseph didn't have to believe. He didn't have to act on that. And it says, "he took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had been brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus." I like the way Paul says it in Acts 27, verse 25. Paul, speaking to the centurion of the ship in the storm, you remember the story. He says, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." You know, that this morning, that needs to be our declaration, is, "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I'm going to invite the praise team to come back. We've got one more song for you. But as they come, I want you to know the birth of Jesus is a birth with a message. It's a birth with a message. It's a message that is complete and entire, and one that takes shape throughout the pages of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Listen to these passages. What is Christmas all about? Here's the true story from beginning to end. Approximately 750 years, 7 centuries before Christ, God said to Isaiah, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." It was this very text that Matthew quoted when he said, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. Isaiah also wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end." Also, 7 centuries before Jesus, Micah singled out Bethlehem as the place of Jesus' birth when he said, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old and ancient times." And then the Old Testament ends with Malachi saying, "The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." And also tells how Elijah would come, fulfilled by John the Baptist, turning the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children to the father. And then finally, 400 years later, Paul recounts, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons," that is, full rights. So again, my question to you this morning, the question that I present to you is, what do you believe? What do you believe? Everybody stand to your feet. In Jesus, God provided for us life, real life, Zoe life, the God kind of life that comes with full rights and benefits as sons and daughters of God Almighty. And I submit to you that with this life, he thought of everything. He thought of everything. If it's healing you need this morning, it can be found in Jesus Christ. If it's deliverance you need this morning, it can be found in Jesus Christ. If it's a new beginning you need this morning, it can only be found in Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for Jesus. We're so grateful for the life that came all those years ago, born of a virgin. We believe it all. But we also believe that some 33 years later that you died on the cross to deliver us, to redeem us from the sins of the past, from the sins of the future. Father, you saw it all and you sent your Son to deliver us. If it's a new beginning that you need this morning, if your life has been on a course, on a direction that you know is not the way that you want to go, before we get done with this paragraph, before we get done with this sentence, your life can be eternally turned around and changed for eternity. All you have to declare is, Lord, I believe. I believe in you. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that Jesus gave his life for me. I believe it all. And because I believe it all, I believe I'm redeemed, set free for eternity. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. Cleanse me from all sin. If you make that declaration this morning, you can walk out of this auditorium a new man, a new woman, changed for eternity. But again, what will you believe? I don't know about you, but I choose to believe in him. Amen.
You say this mountain can be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through.
God's good, isn't he? Amen. Glory to God. We're going to take some time right now. We want to honor our pastors. Amen. Pastor Mark, Miss Margaret, John, Sheila, Christina, Caleb, if y'all come down here. And glory to God. Don't y'all appreciate them? Amen. You know, out of, I hadn't visited many other churches in Cleveland. I've been here 27 years, and, you know, I don't believe there's anywhere in Cleveland you get this good of teaching and, you know, pastors that care and pray for us. If there's anything I'm thankful for, is these people right here. Amen. Amen. Michelle, you got anything to say? No? So you gotta say no. Amen. Amen. Well, before we come around and shake their hands, hug their necks, tell them how much you love and appreciate them. First, you know, after we do this, we're going to be dismissed into the gym. But I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and pray over the meal right now. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful. We are so thankful, Lord, for everything that you are and everything that you do in our lives, Father God, and for each and every person in this place. But Father, most of all, like I said, we just thank you, Lord, for Jesus. But right now, Lord, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Lord, we ask that you would bless it for the health, the healing, the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.